Amen. Good morning, everybody. What I want to talk about this morning is simply this, the authority of the Scripture. And so it doesn't sound like a really exciting topic, but it is a must win in your life. And what do I mean by that? We each one have to settle once and for all in our lives, what's the final word? What's the final authority? When I have a decision to make, when I have a direction I want to take, when I have a life to live, what in the world is going to help me, guide me, direct me, and lead me? And if we don't have a final authority in our life, we will be scattered, we will be aimless, and we will be without purpose. Now, and I'm going to be as bold to say this because I really believe this morning. If you are truly a biblical Christian today, your faith is in Jesus Christ, there's no other answer than this. The Word of God, the Holy Bible, 66 books in all, Old and New Testament, is the final authority in how to live your life and how to practice your faith and how to develop your relationships, how to relate to God, how to do anything that we need to do in this present life within the pages of Scripture is the final answer on all of these issues. And I'm excited about that because I know a lot of men who have made the Word of God the final authority, and guess what it brings to you? It brings peace. You're not wrestling about who's in charge anymore. You know God is. And you know what God says about whatever issue because you research the Word until you find His heart, His understanding, and His direction. Now, I want to say this very, very important for New Covenant believers to understand this. Every word in the book is interpreted through a specific set of lenses. And those lenses would be this: the finished and complete work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Because the Bible says that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. If you were here Sunday morning, Brent Bauma did the communion message. Now, he detailed out for us ways that God prescribed different punishments under the law. I mean, if you disobeyed your parents, you could be stoned for dead. But Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. I would have died at 3 years old if that was still in practice. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the prophets. And through the lens of the finished and complete work of the cross, we interpret every word of Scripture. And yes, it does take some time to begin to understand how to accurately interpret Scripture. That's why we need the body of Christ. We're not meant to do this individually. There's people who've gone before us. There's people who've gone before you. There's people who know more than I do that I need to listen to, that I need to learn from, so that I can understand how to interpret the words of Scripture. And so I'm praying this morning that every man in this room and every man that might ever hear this message could do this. We could settle it once and for all. The Bible is my final authority on how I'm going to live my life. Because we can get up here as a church and we can prescribe it on paper in the membership class in our statement of faith that the Bible is the final authority in all that we do, and we're going to preach and teach the Word. And you can come in and you can say, I like that. I like going to a church that says the Bible is the Word of God and the final authority. And that is good. That's a good decision. But it doesn't really matter until you say, not I like a church that believes that. Is that I believe that. Big difference. Big difference. The Bible will tell you how to and not to have sex. The Bible will tell you how to and not to relate to people. The Bible will tell you how to and not to spend your money. The Bible will tell you how to and not to treat your children. The Bible gives instructions on every key area of life. It's a must win. If we don't win here, we're aimless. If we don't win here, the mission that Jesus gave us of going to all the world and making disciples is frivolous. Because what are you going to disciple them to? What are you going to teach them? Whatever I feel like that day. Well, there's no consistency there. Did you know our culture doesn't agree with everything I just said? big sectors of the church who call themselves Christian today don't agree with what I just said. We have huge movements in America and the world who are trying to decide if they want to obey the word, if the word has final authority or not. And I'm telling you, when you give up on the word being the authority, you lose the power that the word brings. If you want power in this life as a man of God, you get your power through the word of God. Final authority. There's nothing for me to say today unless it comes under the authority of the scripture. Amen. All right, so a big idea would be this. God's ways work. God's ways work. I thank God I've learned the Bible. I thank God that people have, as I taught Sunday morning, this paradigm right here, patiently corrected me. People have patiently rebuked me. People have patiently encouraged me with good, sound teaching from the Bible. It's made a difference in my life. My wife would tell you today, if she were here this morning, she would say, I'm so glad that men of God taught my husband the word of God, because he turned around and came home and taught it to me. And it changed the way he treated me. It changes the way he treats my kids. It changes the way he does his job. I'm not ever going to get up here and ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Did you know the Bible teaches us how to work? The Bible teaches us how to submit to authority. The Bible teaches us how to live a blessed life. Now, this message is irrelevant to you if you're not a Christian today, but I think you're here because you want to be a follower of Christ. I think the majority of you already settled that. I believe in Jesus. But even people who believe in Jesus sometimes have not settled whether they believe his word is the final authority and the final say in their lives. So the authority of Scripture is under attack by culture, even sectors of the church. What culture says about the authority of Scripture is this. Culture says the Bible is archaic and irrelevant, foolish, outdated, even fictional. People even get up in pulpits today in churches and say, well, that might just be a good story. It's not a good story, it's true. The stories of the Bible really happened. They're historical accounts. The only time it wasn't a real happening was when Jesus gave a parable. A parable is an illustration. Those things didn't actually happen, but they were stories that illustrated what his kingdom is like. But you got Moses, you got Jonah, you got Job, you got all the prophets. These things really happened. These people were real. They really walked the face of the earth. They really did some weird stuff. If you want to get a really interesting read, read about Isaiah and some of the weird stuff he did. You want to get an interesting read? Read Genesis. There's no soap opera in America today that can rival the story of Genesis. It's amazing what these people did. I mean, they're crazy. But God encountered them. And as they continued to learn to submit to God, God forgave their sins and used their lives to do something great. The Bible is not fictional. It's true. What certain sections of the church today say about the authority of Scripture, it's non-applicable. The Bible's not inspired by God. The Bible has all kinds of errors. That's all phooey-hooey. The Bible is infallible. It is not in error. The Bible is God's word. It's been preserved for thousands of years. It is the best-selling book out there on the market. It's still number one bestseller, the Holy Bible. Why? Because when people get turned on to Jesus, they get turned on to his word, and they want to read it and devour it and study it and learn from it, because they know in these words are life. They know in these words they direct us to a deeper faith and a strong relationship with a living God, Jesus Christ. So what's at stake if we don't believe in the authority of Scripture? Everything's at stake. Your whole life as a believer is at stake. The next generation's at stake. I'll tell you this. If you don't believe in the Bible as your authority, you will lose your way. You'll miss the kingdom of God here and now. You will leave a mess of confusion for the next generation. Have you ever read Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, if you go read it for yourself, you will see what happens when we exchange the truth of God, His Word, and start believing the lies of culture. I don't have time to preach that message, but if you want to know what happens when you put away the Bible and you quit listening to it and you quit obeying it and you just do whatever you want, what's right in your own eyes is what it says there, you get all kinds of weird outcomes. In fact, you see a lot of those in modern American culture today. But God is wanting to bring a revival that starts with obeying His Word. Years ago, we heard this, right, Chris? There's going to be a revival, and the revival will be a revival of the authority of God through His Scriptures. And I believe God is establishing that in the earth today. There's a lot of people saying the Bible's irrelevant, but there's also a lot of people who are saying the Word of God is real, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to divide between joints and marrow to determine the thoughts and intention of a man's heart. You know why people don't want to read the Bible? Because it will convict you about what you're doing that's wrong. It'll make you, it'll confront the heck out of you. But you need it. I need it. We all need it. I'm not perfect on Scripture. I don't obey God perfectly every day, but I continue to seek Him through His Word. And when I run into something He says that I'm not doing, I don't argue, or I try not to argue. I just get on my knees and say, Lord, I do still argue. I try not to argue. God's always right. But there's times when you run into it. I love what we teach this in membership class exclusively. We don't, it's the whole Bible. We have to take it all. We can't take our little X-Acto knife and cut out the parts we don't like. We got to take it all and swallow it whole. And sometimes it feels bitter, but man, it is the best pill you'll ever swallow. Is God, what does your word say about whatever I'm up against? If you're not subject to the Scripture, then you will be subject to something else. We are designed to be followers. Everybody wants to be a leader, but the truth is we're all followers. And if you think you're a leader, the only way to be a good leader is to follow a greater leader. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus is the leader. God is the Father. We are followers. We follow by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to obey the leader, Jesus, to obey the Father, God. And so the authority of Scripture, if it's not your absolute authority for living, then you'll be subject to the world's ways of doing things and the world's views. There's no gray area in Scripture. It's black or white. I want to tell you this, God's ways work. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture. And interestingly, this when he wrote this, they didn't have the New Testament in form. They had letters that were circulating. But he's literally talking about the Old Covenant, the Law and the Prophets. But I believe it does encompass these new writings because they were in circulation. But they weren't canonized yet. They weren't in a book like we have today. He said, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, showing people what's wrong in their lives, correcting their faults, and for teaching us how to live right. Did you know Jesus had a high value for childlike faith? Do you know what happens to us? We grow up and try to complicate things. This is simple. The Bible is inspired by God to teach you, to show you what's wrong with you, to correct you when you're wrong, and to teach you how to live right. That's simple. Then why in the world are we arguing with that? Well, because we're sophisticated now. You know what sophisticated means? You just come up with a lot of thoughts, and you write all those down, and then you become the expert of all those thoughts, and so now you're a big shot. That's what the Jews did. You heard this thing. You got the Torah, which was what God wrote, right? The first five books. Then they had the Talmud. And lots of Jews get mad at me for saying this, I'm sure. Please forgive me if you're a Jew. They wrote a lot of extra rules. And then they were the expert on the rules. Why'd they do that? So they could be the big shots and everybody else could be the nobodies and they could be in charge. Run away from people like that. You don't need me to teach you the Bible. Pick it up and read it for yourself. I think you need me to be a function in the body of Christ to bring the word. I think we need order in the body of Christ, but you don't. There's no one person on this planet who's the final authority on how we're supposed to interpret Scripture. The Holy Spirit says he will teach you himself. That's what the Bible says. It says you don't need a teacher. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will teach you yourself. What you need to do is what the Holy Spirit's teaching you. Find people who are hearing the same thing from God, agree with them, and watch unity come and the commanded blessing of God come upon that group of people. That's what you need to do. You don't need to come here and say, hey, teach me the word. No, you need to come and say, is what they're teaching agree with what the Holy Spirit's showing me? If yes, now let's settle the issue. Let's get in agreement. Yeah! And then let's go do something besides sit around and act like we're doing something when we ain't doing nothing. That's what churches all across America sit down and do nothing and pretend like it's something. Making disciples is not sitting your booty on a chair on Sunday morning. That's a place to get refilled so you can go into the world and actually do something with the word. I have to catch myself because I get really excited and I start yelling. I'm not mad at anybody. This is me expressing passion. I've confessed over and over that I'm trying not to yell, and so many of you have come back and said, would you stop apologizing for being yourself? I said, okay, I'm just going to yell at you then. I'm going to try to remain humble in it and not be ugly. But I get real fired up about this stuff. This word and people who've taught me this word have changed my life. And I want everyone to have the benefit of the word in their life. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4 says this, I passed on to you what I received, of which this was most important, that Christ died for our sins. This is the key part, as the scripture says. It's not a theory. It's recorded in history. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are historical accounts of what Jesus really did. The book of Acts, the rest of the New Testament are explanations of what he did and how he did it and how it affects our lives. He said, I passed on to you as of first importance, what's most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scripture says, that he would be buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scripture says. I don't know that Jesus did anything except that the Bible says he did it. And see, this is what my dad taught me. I love my dad. He's very practical. He said, son, you need to be open-minded and learn, but don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. We live in a culture that says, I'm just open to everything. That's a very undisciplined way of living life. I will listen to anybody for a little bit. But whether I'm going to sit under and soak in what they're saying, I'm going to discern that as to whether what they're saying agrees with the Word of God. You can go, well, how do you know the Bible's real? Well, there's smarter people that could get up here and give you all kinds of evidence. I'm not that guy, but the Bible's real. I've seen the witness of it in my own life. That's all I need to know. But there's really smart people in this room right here who could give you all kinds of apologetics. That's the defense of the faith and the scripture and tell you why the Bible's real and all that stuff. And if you need that, come talk to me. I'll send you to them. They're smart people. They're gifts to the body of Christ. There's books and volumes of books written to help prove that the scripture's real. And if you need to go read all that to believe it, that's fine. Go for it. But you're going to come to the same conclusion I did. It's real. And somewhere out there, you're going to have to quit deciding whether it's real and submit to it. So let's just take a shortcut. I always like shortcuts, don't you? I like shortcuts. Let's get there fast. Just settle it today. Final authority in my life. What if I'm reading something I don't understand? Go to somebody who you trust, like a life group leader, like a fellow believer, like a pastor, like an elder, like somebody that you trust that's further along in the faith than you, and say, I was reading this, it doesn't make a lick of sense to me, could you help me? And that's how we help each other understand the Word of God. Not any one person has all knowledge, not any one person has the final word on anything, but we can learn from each other, and as we pray and seek God, God will make clear His directions through His Word. So here at our church, we believe that if people are going to have success in their life, they must learn to make every decision based upon the unchanging principles expressed in the Word of God. We are committed to teaching and preaching God's Word, the Bible, as the final authority in everything, in every area of life. That's what we're going to do here. That's resolved. That's settled. If I quit preaching the Word, I don't have a job. Because there's a leadership team around me who will remove me if I start doing something other than teaching the Word. That's my job. My job is to feed the sheep at this church and encourage people to feed themselves in the Word of God. I'm supposed to provide leadership to everything we're doing. If I don't do those things, I don't have a job. And you should be happy about that. What about you? If you don't do that, what's your consequence? A screwed up life. I know, I'm just trying to illustrate that you like the fact that I'm accountable to the Word because I'm your pastor. Do you want to be accountable to the Word yourself? Something to chew on, isn't it? James 1. I'm glad I'm accountable. You know, these boundaries keep me honest. This accountability keeps me safe. It keeps my family in a good spot. It keeps my life blessed. I'm great with accountability. I'm great with people who have authority in my life. I'm great that there's lots of people around me who have permission to say, no, shut up. I just wonder if any of y'all have people like that in your life. Again, I know you're happy that I have that accountability, but what about you? You need exactly what I need too. Someone who could tell you no, someone who could give you direction. We all need it, doesn't matter how old we are. We need that kind of accountability. James 1:22, do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you're fooling yourselves. Now, these scriptures I'm reading today are in very modern translation, the New Century Version. You've probably heard it in King James or New American Standard, or English Standard, all that stuff. This is in the New Century Version. It's like a third grade reading level, but it really makes it plain. So it's talking about God's Word, God's teaching. It's talking about the Word. Do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you're fooling yourself. Those who hear God's teaching and do nothing are like people who look at themselves in the mirror. They see their faces. They go away and quickly forget what they look like. But the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free. And they continue to study it. They do not forget what they've heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made happy. You depressed today? You discouraged? Read the Word and do what it says. It'll get you on a good path. You might actually be happy for once. Your wife will thank you. Hey, look, I've been depressed before. I'm a mess of a person. I've had so many failures in my life. But allowing God's Word to be the final authority has always brought me back to the right path. This is so important. I mean, here's what it says and what we're used to hearing. Don't be hearers of the Word only, be doers of the Word. So when you hear it, go do it. When you hear it, do it. Don't just listen. It says you're fooling yourself when you just listen. And I don't want to discourage you from coming to Bravehearts, but if all you do is hear one of us teach the Word and you don't go act on what you've heard, you're fooling yourself. Now, I'm not the judge of that. I don't even have time to be the judge of that. I don't have time to follow you around and go, well, you're not doing the Word. You ought to judge yourself. Self-evaluate. Ask your wife, am I obeying the Word? Ask your kids. Ask your coworkers. Some of us are scared to death to ask those kind of questions because we don't want to hear what they got to say, especially your wife. So, yeah, you were doing pretty good until you blew up the other day over something stupid. Yeah, okay, I knew I didn't want to have this conversation. Right? I mean, we need people in our lives that are, we need people who are going for it as much as we are. People who are as devoted to this as much as you are, or more than you are, so that you can glean from them. We need the word. It is the only thing that brings peace. It's the only solid thing in my life. It's rock solid. I got the privilege of studying different philosophies in college. I don't want to do that again. I got the privilege of studying different world religions in college. I don't really care to do that again either. I picked mine. In fact, I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's what I've decided to do. What have you decided to do? I've decided to submit myself to the word and what it teaches. That's what I've decided to do. What have you decided to do? Because I can live a blessed life and you cannot. Or you can live a blessed life and I cannot. You don't get it by identifying with someone who's doing it. You get it by doing it yourself. And it's not that hard. Yes, it will challenge you. Yes, it will be a little uncomfortable because you're used to doing your own thing. But you'll get real happy real quick with getting in the Word and knowing that there it brings so much peace because you go, okay, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't have to figure it out. God's already got it figured out. Amen. Now that brings peace. So look to the scripture to answer the questions that are the biggest issues in your life. Let's think about a few things like what culture says, what the Bible says. Identity. And the Bible says male and female, he created them. He made them in his image. Did you know there's parts of our nation today who say a girl could wake up this morning and say, I'm a boy. And we all are supposed to believe that? A boy could go into the supermarket, decide he wants to go to the girls' restroom because today I'm a girl. The Word of God defines male and female and the roles of men and women. A godly man is supposed to lead, protect, and provide. That's what men are supposed to do. So much of this is flip-flopped in culture. You're going to have to really go and ask God to scrub your brain. Because if you haven't been really paying attention, this culture has taught you a different value system than you can find in the Bible. And if you're really obedient and to the Bible, this culture will ridicule you, make fun of you, and tell you you're irrelevant. You better be looking to the Holy Spirit and to real men of God to affirm who you are, not something out there, or you'll be confused. Is this okay just to talk about the truth of what's going on out there? Look, I'm not mad at anybody. If there's gender confusion, God wants to heal that. If people are wounded in different ways, but God wants to heal that. God is not angry with people for being confused. He wants to heal them. If they'll accept the word, they can find healing. I know people who have been very confused about their identity as male or female, about their sexuality, but when they've submitted their life to the word of God, they have come back to peace. This is possible. Money. This is a big issue, right? The Bible tells you that you should tithe the first 10% of your money. You should give that back to the Lord. That you should then give offerings even above that. You should live off of a budget and be responsible and save for the future. The generous will prosper. The borrower is slave to the lender. This is what the Bible says. Culture says, just get a good credit score and go get whatever you want. Just take out a loan, and when you die, somebody else will have to pay for it. I mean, that's what culture, our economy would fall apart if we didn't have everybody extended on loans. If we didn't have credit extended, like, we would have no economy in the United States of America. Do you realize that? It's a little bit scary. Have you looked at the national debt lately? I haven't. I quit looking at it. It scares me. So I said to go, that's them, that's culture. I'm going to do as the best I can in my life to honor and obey the word. It doesn't say borrowing money is a sin. It just says you're a slave to whoever you borrowed it from. That's what the Bible says. So how much slavery you want to be in? It's just up to you. It's not a sin to borrow money. It just might be foolish to borrow too much. Right? Yeah, you know that. Work. And culture sure doesn't tell you to give, right? Doesn't tell you, anyway. Work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't get to eat. That's not what culture says. The Bible says work is a blessing. Now, there are provisions in Scripture for the widows and the orphan and the disabled. There are. There are provisions that we should take care of the less fortunate and the weak. If someone's unable to work, the rest of us who can work should feed them for the rest of their life and care for them. I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. But those of us who can work should not sit around and expect somebody else to provide for us. Get a job. Go to work. Enjoy your work. God made you to work. Marriage. It's a touchy subject. Bible says, one man, one woman for a lifetime. Learn to love and respect each other. Culture says, well, if it don't work, get another one. That's what culture says. Now, if you've been divorced today, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, culture says it doesn't matter. Marriage doesn't matter anymore. The Bible says marriage is very important. That God can forgive and redeem anything. And he will. And you're not condemned the rest of your life because you mess up once. I'm just saying, there's a difference in what the Bible teaches and what culture teaches. And we have to acknowledge that. Parenting. You can learn how to parent in the Bible. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. That means don't discipline your child and get a rotten kid. But discipline your kid and they'll bring joy to their father and mother. The Bible does not teach abuse, it teaches discipline. But culture says, you can't do that. I mean, a two-year-old needs to be able to express their will in life. A two-year-old doesn't even know what the heck they're doing. I mean, it's amazing. They can't even dress themselves, but people say that they should be able to tell you what your family should do. The reason we don't accept the authority of Scripture is simple to me. Pride. I know better. We know better. I mean, even God is willing to reason with you. Isaiah says it, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. God doesn't disrespect you. He's just always right. But he doesn't disrespect you as a person when you want to disagree with him. But he just says, come on, son, let's reason together. Let me talk to you. If you're humble, you'll always come to his conclusion and understand that he's right because he's God Almighty and you're not. But we're arrogant. We want to be in control. We have this high need to understand. Understanding is valuable, but you will not understand everything about God. It's called faith. So what do we need to do today? Well, we need to make up our mind if the Bible is going to be our authority or not. We need to surrender. If I were writing you a prescription today for every one of us, surrender to the authority of God through his word. Repent for not making it your final authority. All of us. There's at least one area of Scripture that each of us would wrestle with. Even those of us who say, I'm submitted to the word of God today. There's still something in your life that you're wrestling with. Just go ahead and give up. I mean, all the things I just talked about, parenting. You know, I've been so tempted so many times not to discipline my kids because it's a lot easier to stare at the TV than to take time to go speak truth, bring discipline, bring order to your children. I mean, disciplining your kids is inconvenient. They act out at the worst times. But I thank God that I made a commitment to honor his word. And I needed a lot of encouragement to keep doing that. Greg already had to go to work, but Greg Brown helped me so much when I was raising my kids. He helped me stay the course. And I'm proud that I did because I'm pretty happy with the way my kids are turning out. They're free moral agents. They can do whatever they want. I tell them that all the time. You're accountable to God. I did the best I could. I hope you turn out well. Now you're responsible. Debt. It's so tempting to go borrow money. It's so tempting to say, I want it. I deserve it. I got good enough credit. I could go buy a brand new Ford truck today. Yeah. Right? I mean, a lot of you could. But it wouldn't make sense. Do I want a new truck or do I want to eat beans and rice every day for the next 5 years? It wouldn't be wrong for me to get that, but would it be wise? You understand what I'm saying? I've got to come to some kind of sense in my life, and the Bible will help me have good sense. How about issues about unforgiveness? We didn't talk about that earlier, but there's people who've hurt me. People who've hurt you. The Bible says we should forgive them. Doesn't say we have to go play in the same yard with them again, but we do have to release them, forgive them, and even bless them. The Bible says that love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's rough. So many reasons I would like to hold on to the hurt of people who've hurt me, but if the Bible's my authority, I have to forgive. You see what I see? How it, there's where the rubber meets the road. I can say for myself today, I'm glad and happy I've chosen God's ways and continue to do my best to surrender to the authority of Scripture. I hope that somehow in this talk today that you have been persuaded, not by me, but by the Word of God, that the Word of God is what you need to submit to. God's ways work. What if you surrendered to the Word of God today? What if you looked at God's word first instead of a last resort? What if every area of your life came under the authority of Scripture? How great or how different would your life be? We've got to settle this one thing once and for all. Is the Bible the final authority for me or not? Would you pray with me, guys? Lord, as we enter into a time of prayer and discussion, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. God, that you would bear witness to your word and convince each one of us that we need this. We need submission to the authority of Scripture. Jesus, we need you. We need your word. And we ask that you would pour out your grace and kindness upon us this morning in those areas that we need to surrender and repent. In Jesus' name.